All right, thanks everyone for joining. It is September the 11th, 2021. Happy hoaxiversary to all the crisis actors, government agents, traitors, media decepticons, and unwitting dupes of the PSYOP entertainment complex. I have a lot of things to go through today, voicemails to answer. It's been weeks, almost a week since I've been able to answer voicemails. We had a couple glitches, but I fixed those. Technical errors have been corrected, and we added a studio camera. We have a studio camera for the whiteboard and for anything else. So let's see what we have here in the chat. Joined here by HIGGIH, Time has joined us. McAfee faked death in a Russian roulette clip. He's got a good experience at it. Oh yeah, John McAfee has quite a bit of experience faking his death, faking heart attacks. I have no reason to believe that he's actually dead other than his wife not playing into it, but the whole thing seems very PSYOP-y, top to bottom. And we can talk about that. So the Dead Man Switch was a nothing burger, but McAfee has a Telegram account where new videos are being uploaded. And I say new in quotes, we don't know if these were pre-recorded and somebody's just exploiting his image. So you got John McAfee and JFK Jr. on Telegram. I'm waiting for some more dead celebrities to make appearances, like maybe Nipsey Hussle ought to open up a Telegram account. Thirst of Truth says, shout out to all the Vic Sims that passed away 20 years ago. Oh yeah, Vic Sims. And it's been a hard journey getting a lot of the guardrailed minds to walk away from the Alex Jones punch bowl, the Jonestown Kool-Aid, where, oh, it's a false flag. Oh, it happened. People died, but it was done by somebody else. It was the Skull and Bones. It was the Reptoids. It was the Jews. How about it was a multimedia presentation by your world government? No, but they want you to think CNN's against Fox, that left is against right. Well, they have the same puppet master, and that's what they don't want you to see. And as long as you believe that 3,000 people died, you're not going to see that, and most people can't. And even of those who recognize that there is a conspiracy here, like the 9/11 truth movement, they still think it was an attack, not a propaganda operation. Huge difference. Big difference. So they're stuck on, oh, people died. Well, look, if there were no planes, which you can prove, there are many videos which we can go through and we will, eyewitnesses said it was a bomb. Video show it was an explosion, controlled detonation, squibs all the way down. So nobody died in those planes. If nobody died in those planes, well, then it opens up a can of worms. And when you actually look at the pictures of the people, the victims of the day, it looks like you're going through thispersondoesnotexist.com. And a lot of the pictures are recycled. A lot of metadata gives it away that you're looking at an operation. Mercedes says, why? Yeah, that's a great question. We have a few people ask that same question. Why isn't this channel bigger? And it is bigger than it appears. We're on every major podcasting platform. We're live 24/7. And we're mirroring on the Dark Matter Digital Network. It's another thing we're doing. But we have been overtly suppressed. We've had more than 100 YouTube channels taken out. Last week, they took out 4 channels consecutively, and one of them had no strikes. They just sent me a message and they said, you're not allowed to use our platform anymore, basically. Doesn't matter. We're on a few channels. We don't care. We're only doing this broadcast on every platform because there are people who are open and receptive to these ideas who call in. I don't care about it being archived there. We're not trying to raise ad revenue on YouTube. YouTube is MSMTube, and we saw this coming. Polcat says, the pictures of Cappy throwing himself off the overpass looks like a dummy. I looked at that very closely, and it looks like a dummy. I actually drove beneath that overpass. You're talking about Isaac Cappy, who flung himself off of a 22-foot bridge, which might be significant. It's not a long fall. And then he was hit by a truck, supposedly. Not a long fall. There were claims that two people were trying to stop him from throwing himself off. We haven't actually seen these two witnesses who try to save his life, suggesting that he was thrown off. It does look like a dummy, but I've seen some footage, body cam footage. You see his head, and it looks like, well, it looks like somebody who got dropped on their head off a bridge from 20 feet, or some kind of special effects. And we're talking about the special effects department of the government propaganda wing. So I'm inclined to think it's just special effects. His whole story was just unbelievable. But it's Isaac Cappy who gave credibility to the notion that Chet's dad, Tom Hanks, is a baby eater. And Tom Hanks, you know, to Isaac Cappy's credit, I mean, it's not like he didn't have a point. Tom Hanks had this Instagram account where he would photograph single shoes, children's shoes, like a little girl's slipper behind a dumpster, or a little boy's shoe in a ditch. These really ominous pictures. And so people were thinking, well, Tom Hanks is obviously a serial killer. Not hard to believe. Well, then you have this picture posted on Instagram after Isaac Cappy called out Tom Hanks as one of the top pizza gators. So Isaac Cappy posts this message saying, yeah, Tom Hanks is part of the crew. He drinks adrenochrome. They're a bunch of Satan worshipers. Q was right. Tom Hanks responds by posting a picture of a piece of roadkill on Route 66. And adjacent to the roadkill is a glove and a bottle cap. So if you think about it, the glove could signify the glove has been thrown down. The cap, Cappy. The roadkill, well, 42 days after that Instagram post, Isaac Cappy was roadkill on Route 66. What are the odds? Who was driving that truck? AJ206 says, IPR text message alert received. Yeah, go to infiniteplane.media if you want to get text message alerts. You won't miss anything. Kevin Mooring says, 20 years later, we know what happened on 9/11. Will they know what happened 20 years from now with COVID-1984? We're 20 years ahead. Remember, 9/11/2001, we didn't have enough information to arrive at the correct conclusions. We just didn't. There was way too much disinformation, misinformation, and the knowledge of crisis actors and psychological operations was not mainstream. Mainstream conspiracy, rather. At that time, all conspiracy conjecture revolved around these hypothetical, quote, false flag events. Now, the false flag event is a conspiracy theory that says, oh, it happened, but the media is lying. They're covering up. Somebody else did it. That's the false flag explanation that Alex Jones has been pushing for 20 years. They will never say hoax. Hoax is the truth. Hoax means it's a propaganda event. False flag means it's a literal act of war. Well, if you see any crisis actors, it rules out the potential of it being a false flag. You don't have actors at a real surprise attack. And you could not hire actors to take part in an attack where people are actually getting shot at. That's insane. But that's why I call Jones and those who push false flag theory guard railers. Look, if your neighborhood conspiracy theorist tells you that people died on 9/11, but it was done by some shadowy group or it wasn't done by the Muslims, if they have some conspiracy about how they died, they are guard railing you with a false flag. If they're not up to par, up to speed, if they don't understand, if they haven't deconstructed what is really essentially a movie, then they are mainstream. They are programmed. We kind of broke our programming down, I think, and that's why COVID didn't hit us as hard, because we didn't need any more information. We already knew. Okay, empty hospitals, empty tents, crisis actors, twerking nurses. What else did you need to know? Oh, that's right, a complete lack of bodies. Okay, let's see. Cupstar says, it's not the fall that kills you, it's the truck crushing your skull. Oh, about the Isaac Cappy thing. Well, Isaac Cappy says that Seth Green has a dungeon for children in his Hollywood home. He even said, if they take me out someone needs to cruise through Hollywood Hills with a 50 cal. So early on, I had said that this was an operation. They're creating a martyr out of Isaac Cappy, probably for the purpose of radicalizing QAnoners against the satanic elite. So that, to me, looked totally fake and phony. But all we have is the body cam footage, which itself is very, very questionable. But if you go into Isaac Cappy's actual story, and this might be worth looking at. Let's go ahead and look at Isaac Cappy's final post. I guess it was taken to be something of a suicide letter, even though most believe he actually was killed. Okay, so he leaves behind a note on Instagram. Isaac Cappy was in the movie Thor. He was 42, fell from a bridge, which is kind of interesting too. And we can talk about this later, I suppose, if anyone's interested. But when you get into symbolism, you find the number 42 is something of a code for Saturn, also a code for falling or taking a fall or being taken out. For example, before the canceled Joe Rogan thing started, the focus was on Joe Rogan had 42 tracks pulled from Spotify. Why that number? Spotify deletes 42 Joe Rogan episodes. Spotify has quietly removed 42 of his episodes. Why 42? Well, again, it's a consistent pattern, and I could show you probably hundreds of examples. Okay, so Cappy was a member of a band, Monster Paws, and before his death, he posted a message on Instagram about the president, Donald Trump, fighting a war against pedos. Now, in this message, he said that QAnon is the greatest military operation of all time, but that he failed the plan. I mean, he kind of insinuated that he's one of the bad guys and that he had somehow not lived up to his part. Actually, Instagram has removed it, so. But most of you here know the story. Do you believe he's actually dead? Chalkbody Outline says, I think Chris Cornell may be playing Isaac Cappy. Interesting. Now, Chris Cornell, another suspected death faker. I would have to look and see. I imagine he was a little bit older. But they can fake by as much as I've seen 10 years. I mean, you're not going to convince me Alex Jones is 46. No matter how much super male vitality he takes and how eccentric he acts, how arrested development he acts, he's still coming off as somewhat grandfatherly, which would be consistent with Bill Hicks. Clockwork 113 says, the people will look for a hero, and we will provide them with one. Correct. Yeah, last year, look at this. This is important, too. Last year, on the 19th anniversary of 9/11, 2001, there were 911,000 deaths, 19 million cases. Even the number of recoveries pertained to the main numbers surrounding 9/11. And this morning, I saw an article, I believe it was on Reuters, I did a search. Here's what I searched for. I searched for 846 in quotes. And the public has cognitive dissonance, amnesia, no ability to connect things. But if you look up 846, it's a special about George Floyd and by Dave Chappelle. There's a movement about 846. Well, if you search 846 today and you click news, you get... In pictures, 8:46 a.m. on 9/11. At 8:46, all our lives changed. It was a beautiful Baltimore day until 8:46. So I'm showing you how these events overlap. The Derek Chauvin 9/11 America story is simply that Derek is named for a hangman who killed 3,000 or hanged 3,000. He 9/11 America, Twin Cities, 8 minutes 46 seconds is an obvious reference to the first hit on the Twin Towers. And what's more, if you look at the sunset times in the Twin Cities, and you can just Google this for yourself, on 5/25/2020, which was Memorial Day, the sun set at 8:46 p.m. So the day that George Floyd was supposedly killed in the Twin Cities, the sun set at that time. These are overlapping symbols. Like an eternal flame, America honors the fallen. And this, I believe, also the jumpers, which were all fake, pneumatic cannons shooting dummies out, the people falling from the sky. That's a big part of the symbolism. Like, let's not forget, in Afghanistan, you had the plane with the number 1109, which is an obvious reverse 9/11. And from the plane, you have people falling from the sky. You had a lot of 9/11 encoded into this story. Now, according to Reuters, it was a real plane, not an inflatable dummy. But I'll leave that up to you. It says, there's no evidence that an inflatable decoy plane was photographed at the airport. I kind of disagree. There are so many things wrong with that scene, which we've looked at. But it's worth looking into just for your own frame of reference. The decoy, the dummy tanks of World War II. Inflatable tanks used to fool Germans in World War II.
A 35-ton American Sherman tank holds no terror for these men.
That's a 35-ton tank, and these two guys are going to move it.
But the decoy armor fooled the German air reconnaissance during the war. Filled with nothing but air, a dummy turret, which on a real tank would weigh several tons, comes off with ease.
Now, I started looking into these dummy tanks and how prevalent this is, and this wasn't just World War II. They still do it. The tents that you saw outside of the hospitals worldwide last year were decoys. They were dummies, essentially. Dummy tanks. What are crisis actors? And so, no, this is all mind war. Always has been. All right, let's continue. Canada is also getting into this narrative that the biggest threat right now, and it's replaced the terrorist threat, are domestic terrorists, specifically right-wingers, anti-maskers, freedom types. Freedom lovers are the new terrorists. And, you know, we saw this morning with, in fact, it was George Bush. George Bush came out, and listen to what he said here. He actually compares the modern-day Trumpers who went to the Capitol with the terrorists of 9/11.
The security measures incorporated into our lives are both sources of comfort and reminders of our vulnerability. And we have seen growing evidence that the dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within. There is little cultural
violence that gathers within, and they're not talking about Antifa, the precinct burners, the people attacking the courthouses or looting or any of that. No, they're not talking about people who shut down the highways and intimidate people. No, they're talking about a bunch of crisis actors at that CNN staged production on 1/6.
Overlap between violent extremists abroad and violent extremists at home. But then there's disdain for pluralism, in their disregard for human life, in their determination to defile national symbols. They are children of the same foul spirit.
Children of the same foul spirit? Like, where is he getting this from? Don't miss this individual. Now, Thirst for Truth comments that they manduzzled the time on Floyd's neck. Yeah, 8:46 was the ritual. But we were drawing so much attention to it that they changed it. Right after I published the Metascript, and I go into much greater detail about these numbers and about the overlap between that event, 9/11, and even the Rodney King beating. These events are interconnected, and we can prove it. Well, they changed it to 9/29, which is still very 9/11-y. 9, and if you want to add the 9 and 2, which I'm not into numerology, but if I was into numerology, I would just bump it up to the next obvious 9/11 reference. JT33 says, the Harley guy is such an obvious media plant. Yeah, I 100% agree. A lot of media plants. In fact, it's almost an audio bloopers reel. You got to hear this. The very first Sean Hannity, hour one of September 11th, this is from 20 years ago. You got to hear how just brazen these crisis actors are and how much
in a national
how much Hannity loves his job.
Structures, not only
we have the one shot of the plane actually hitting the second building, mm-hmm. and we have these massive structures falling to the ground. But America's got to come to a realization. What happened today is an act of war.
So he was already calling for war. And keep in mind, this was Sean Hannity's second day on the job. But anyway, he's taking calls.
Smoke, maybe from the gas.
He gets this caller. I'm going to play this caller right now in its entirety. This one's good. Get your popcorn. This caller says it all. He smelled gas. He heard explosions. He smelled jet fuel. Then he went outside. I mean, take a listen.
Explosion.
About being too provocative.
Go back.
That we have.
World Trade Center. Also, American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757 from Dulles near Washington. United Airlines Flight 93, a Boeing 757. And United Airlines Flight 1.
Again, this is an eyewitness. This is 77 WABC, September 11, 2001, hour one of the Sean Hannity Show.
We're also going to be taking your calls, getting your reaction to America under attack and the terror that we've all experienced here today and the shock and that everybody's had. And our toll-free number, by the way.
What's going on, man?
Sad day for America.
Oh, horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Tell me what's going on. You apparently were there?
I was there. I work at 110 Wall Street, so I was at my office doing research in the morning. I'm a trader. And all of a sudden, the S&P futures plummeted.
Wait, he said it. He said, I'm a trader. He's at 110 Wall Street. Interesting, 110 stories. But he said it, I'm a traitor. And he'd have to be if he's a false witness, if you think about it.
I looked up, I'm like, what the hell's going on? You know, I'm looking at my friends, what's going on? We look at CNBC, which we watch religiously in the morning, and we see the World Trade Center has a hole in it, you know, something flew in.
He said we watch CNBC, which we do religiously, and we saw the tower had a hole in it. So this is, again, classic, because this is before these propagandists had the level of scrutiny that they do now because of social media. And I think this whole account here is very sloppy. I'm going to play the rest of it here.
Into it, we thought it was just an accident, and, you know, some pilot made a mistake or whatever. And then, boom, the second plane hits. So they evacuate my building, and we are standing outside, basically, you know, just talking to each other. Can't believe what's going on when the first building collapsed. I'm probably around 1,000 yards from this.
Yeah, for people that don't know, I mean, and this is the thing about the World Trade Center. I mean, it is, if you've ever been up to the top floor, there's 110 floor buildings we're talking about.
It's
here.
Huge.
I mean, it is unbelievable. Let's put it this way. I'm now 35 or 40 minutes out of Manhattan. I couldn't get into our studios today because New York was shut down.
Right. Well,
I can actually look out of my...
Now, again, you got to hear this eyewitness.
This building in Garden City, 40 minutes, 45 minutes away,
right.
And we could see the skyline of New York and the black smoke that's coming down here. And look, I got to be honest, experts, a lot of them. And maybe now, this country that will continue to...
Now, sorry about the voice, the Sean Hannity, just so you know. But I've been parsing through these all morning, and some of these are just classic. But you got to hear this guy's account because it's just so detailed, like the Harley guy, which many of you remember.
We've had better days, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'll say that. But anyway, I was at 4 Albany Street at the time. Actually, it was 8:50 a.m., and I thought I had smelled smoke, maybe from a gas explosion. But I didn't think twice about it until someone had come over to me and said, look, the World Trade Center is on fire. And I'm thinking, that soon? Because I did hear some explosion of some sort. And I did right away think that it was too big for a small plane to cause. So I was already thinking Osama bin Laden was behind this somehow.
I was already thinking it was Osama bin Laden. So he goes from smelling what he thought was a gas fire to looking at the Trade Tower when somebody tells him to look, because it wasn't obvious. And then he thinks Osama bin Laden. Okay, seems legit.
And we were given the orders to evacuate the building, which was, as I mentioned, one block away. As soon as I got down to the sidewalk, I did see the second jet just overhead, maybe 500 feet or so overhead.
And then he sees the second jet. We'll leave it at that. There's plenty more to go through. But again, well, we're talking about 9/11, 20 years after. And, you know, you have to hand it to him. The PSYOP entertainment complex is getting better. Their special effects are improving. And I think it's largely due to criticism. I think we media critics do have a role in actually helping them improve, which I'm kind of conflicted about. Thirst for Truth says, the Harley guy is David Weiss. Oh, you know, that's interesting. He was a witness. I've met a few people who claim that they saw planes, and that one always perplexed me. I remember when I first started this channel, this was like in 2017, he had contacted me after a live stream, and he said, please stop saying nobody died on 9/11. I saw a plane from where, and he said he saw a plane. And moreover, and I said, I can't just take your word for it. And he didn't expect me to. But then he said that his friend was an EMT and that she has to see a psychiatrist daily because she was so traumatized by the bodies falling from the sky. So I've seen accounts where Donald Trump has even claimed that he saw planes hitting the building. And that claim is very hard to stand by these days. Very hard, especially now that there are videos of people with their handycam or videos by people who aren't part of the mainstream media, handycam footage, where you see the second tower explode. No plane. All right, I got to show you something else too. We'll go through this. We have to go through, I think it's a good idea at this point, some of the foreshadowing of 9/11 in the Kubrick film, Space Odyssey 2001. There's also some foreshadowing in other films as well. But this is from an article, Stanley Kubrick's Faked Death and the 9/11 Hoax. So most of you here are very familiar with 9/11 predictive programming. And that shows you it was planned in advance. And many people think, oh, it was a planned attack. No, it was a planned movie production. In fact, it's a continuous movie. It's a contiguous film. From 1968 till 2020, I think there's a continuous storyline here, and it's pretty well outlined in The Shining and Space Odyssey 2001. We'll start with The Shining. So in The Shining, you have the twins in the hallway, the twin girls. Well, that's a deviation from the book. So they weren't twins until the film. That was done at the insistence of the director. So Kubrick decided to make them identical twins, and then in the scene where they're in the hallway, and we're talking about these girls who are ghosts, Danny rides his bicycle towards the twins, like a plane headed towards the Twin Towers. Now, when he turns the corner, these ghosts are now on the ground, chopped up and bloodied, wounded in the midsection, sort of like the Twin Towers. And the scene is reminiscent of Ground Zero. Again, we're talking foreshadowing. And then it gets stronger. Next scene, Danny is throwing darts. The twins enter the room. At the back of the room, there's a phone booth. It's a Bell telephone booth. So you have the twins and the phone booth. Well, if you look at Ground Zero, you have the twins and the Bell telephone tower. Now, what's more, 1968 is the year the Twin Towers construction began. 1968 is the year 911 became an emergency number for the United States. So 33 years later, they come down. Well, 1968 was the year that this 2001 A Space Odyssey was released, all about this big black monolith. Well, if you look at Ground Zero, there's the Millennium Hilton Hotel that was designed specifically to look like the monolith. So you have a major Stanley Kubrick plot, a prop, right there in the middle of Ground Zero. And now let's look at the logo from the Hilton. Just to point this out, if you look at the Hilton logo, it just happens to look like Twin Towers getting hit by planes. It literally does. You've got the twin pillars, and then you have the swirling spiral that cuts through both towers. Okay, let's go ahead and go down. There's quite a lot more. I'm glossing over quite a lot here. Now, if we go into Space Odyssey 2001, there is an iconic scene of a space plane entering a space station comprised of these two big wheels. So it looks like a plane entering Twin Towers. And it looks very much like the iconic scene of Flight 175 speeding toward the South Tower. Same director is my contention here. It's the contention of the writer of this piece. I 100% agree, and I found a lot more since then that this is an ongoing script. This is all based on the notion that Kubrick had everything to do with Apollo 11. So you have A-11, 9-11. And interestingly enough, on the anniversary of Apollo 11, which was this July 20th, that was the date that Jeff Bezos launched his rocket into space. And he took off at 9-11. Now, a couple weeks prior, Richard Branson took off with his space plane. And a space plane kind of looks like this plane here from the Kubrick movie. And interestingly enough, too, if you look at that plane, it's lifted up into the sky by the White Knight 2, a couple of twin airplanes sharing a wing. Very much like what you're seeing here, we have this space station with these two parts. It's all about the twin symbolism. You go back even further to the comedy piece, Dr. Strangelove. This movie by Kubrick revolves around a jet airplane on a rogue low-level attack mission. So you have Flight 77 traveling at top speed before it hits the Pentagon. Again, I'm glossing over most of it, and there's a lot more we can add to it. I kind of picked up on this line of research when I started studying the moon landing, Apollo 11, and these claims of Kubrick's involvement in that it had some kind of alchemical significance. And this led me down to studying Eyes Wide Shut, which I believe connects into Vanilla Sky, based on a movie called Open Your Eyes. I think there's a connection between Eyes Wide Shut and Open Your Eyes, and one of the main connecting elements is the actor, Tom Cruise, who starred in Kubrick's final movie. Everything about these movies is significant. You can even find instances in Full Metal Jacket that have 9/11 foreshadowing. I won't be going through all of it, but I want to get to this part. So, the tremendous amount of dust by the collapse of the Twin Towers necessitated the use of masks by all the first responders. So you see the masks at 9/11. Then you can connect this, of course, with Kubrick's movie Eyes Wide Shut. The masks become a big part of the ritual transformation into the new age, the alchemical transformation, the individuals becoming part of the hive. So these are extremely significant. Even Eyes Wide Shut is all about an individual living with this mask. Space Odyssey 2001 also foreshadows Corona, the lockdowns, as does Vanilla Sky. But I'm pointing it out here that the masks are also referenced in this article as a significant part of this meta script. The use of numbers and signs with 9/11 predictive programming is all over the internet. No need to go into all of it here. But it's an anniversary date, and I think this I wouldn't say this event, quote, woke people up. I would say it guardrailed a lot of free thinkers. So sure, they became skeptics of mainstream media, but then they also became immersed in a culture that's designed, I think, to keep people from seeing the truth. Conspiracy culture is largely government infiltrated and controlled. I mean, that's why they're making conspiracy theorists enemies of the state. Obviously, they're creating thought crimes, and they've successfully pulled it off. We have thought criminals on trial. Jake and Jelly's a thought criminal. All these individuals, they caught the meme, and they acted out on it. Kevin Mooring says, everyone used to think George Bush was retarded until they saw Biden. That's not nice. By the way, I think they're both acting. Back when George Bush was president, people said he had aphasia, Bushisms. He would make up words on the spot. Yeah, I think it's all just part of the script, very Machiavellian. And I don't think that Biden is demented. I don't think he's mentally incompetent. I think it's an actor. All right, let's see what we have here. Kevin Mooring says the swirl logo on the Hilton is CERN. Hadn't looked at it that way, but yeah, that's a very similar symbol that you see with a lot of these different organizations. Like you got the World Economic Forum, And look at the swirl on their logo, which could be an eclipse. They'll have their own explanations for it, but it cuts through the three O's, making three sixes. Very consistent with world government. Even the O, 15th letter, but if you want to do the numerology, 1-5 is 6, so you still get your three sixes. If you look at your UN logo, it's 32 sections. You have the 33rd circle, the section in the middle, a circle. And then you have 8 sections with 4 divisions. So a total of 33, and it's surrounded by the laurel wreath. The laurel wreath is Apollo. You know, it's the symbol of Apollo. It's the symbol of Caesar. It's the crown of thorns. It's the crown. That's what the symbolism all pretty much amounts to. The number 33 being associated with a crown. Very consistent. Crown, corona, 33. We've managed to, I believe, discern a lot of the meanings behind their overt symbolism. Lately, I've been looking very closely at the symbol of the dove, which is a symbol of, you know, the reset. It's not a symbol of peace. The dove with the olive branch arrives after the flood. So it's after they've wiped everyone out. The ones with the carbon footprints, the ones who don't recycle, the anti-vaxxers. In other words, the wicked. Listen to this. This is from September 11th, 2001. Obviously not a mainstream media plant. She says, "No, I did not see a plane. I saw the second building just explode."
It could have been my building. My heart goes out.
Did you see a plane go?
I did not see a plane. They said the plane hit the first building. The second building just exploded.
I did not see a plane. They say a plane hit the first building, but I saw the second building and it just exploded. So, Brother Berg tweeted this. Con Air is a movie about a group of guys that hijack a plane and crash it into a casino that was already slated for destruction. It premiered 51 months after the 93 World Trade Center bombing and 51 months before 9/11. Smack dab in the middle. Right. Entertainment is propaganda first. The entertainment is actually just a side effect. It's tasty poison. I'm sure many of you already heard this, the Australian public health chief talking about the New World Order. Interesting that this phrase is hitting the headlines right now, because I think the first time the phrase New World Order was really mainstreamed was when George W. Bush mentioned it, and that was on 9/11/1990.
Have a positive case there. Our response may be different if we know that people are fully vaccinated. So we're working.
They are reopening, because they're not at the moment.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order.
So did she put her foot in her mouth when she said, we will see what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order? You know, is that a slip? I mean, I'm not quite sure what to make of it, but it's going viral. We discussed this yesterday. The Pope claims that climate change is a cry of the earth. Nothing new here. Just showing you how the new dominant religion is science turned into a religion. It takes on all the same functions. The virus replaces the need to convince people of sin. You don't need people to believe in an angry God if they believe in a wrathful globe, one that would, you know, flood you if you don't mitigate your behaviors. All the religions are bowing because COVID and globe are boss. It's your God and devil for the atheistic new age. I mean, they're atheistic for now. I'm pretty sure AI will be the God over this thing, the new authority. Listen to this. This is Joe Biden. Now, he's saying that by 2050, we will have zero net emissions. I mean, what does that even mean? That means nobody's breathing?
We are determined that we are going to deal with climate change and have zero emissions, net emissions by 2050. By 2020, make sure all our electricity is zero emissions. We're going to be able to do these things, but we've got to move. We've got to move. And we've got to move the rest of the world. It's not just the United States of America. We're determined. We are.
All right. So it's, again, zero carbon emissions. You got World War Zero. You know, World War Zero is the one where George W. Bush, or George H.W. Bush, Skull and Bonesman, all these individuals have all kind of pushed the same idea that we got to reduce our carbon emissions. But all these Skull and Bonesmen seem to be connected to pushing this idea, all these cultists. And I think it matters. I think it matters that John Kerry, Skull and Bonesman, is behind World War Zero. Because it's just a way of declaring a war on all the breathers, a war on the masses, a war on consumers, capitalists. If you go to worldwarzero.com, we can't return to normal because normal was the crisis. You can, I mean, it's in their slogan here, in how they describe everything here is like basically saying the problem is us, overpopulation, our way of life, but also the idea that we're already in a crisis. We're already in a state of chaos, so we have to, you know, get some order together. We have to demand it. You have the raised fist, the communist fist. It says recruit scientists, youth activists, and global leaders. Reach across the aisle and across generations. Yesterday we were talking about NBC Climate Confessions, where you can go to NBC.com and you can confess when you don't recycle or you don't do your part. And they always show you these images of drowning polar bears, like he's running out of land. He's on the last piece of ice. Donate to World War Zero. We can win this war to a better, healthier world. Now, polar bears can swim. I don't know if this person knows that. But they don't want you to know that. They want you to think that polar bears are out there stranded on ice because their homelands are melting because your parents drive an SUV. And they definitely aim at the children. It's about molding the youth into a culture that says our society doesn't need private property. Private property is unsustainable. And all this space utopianism only adds to that. Space utopianism. Go to Mars? Well, yeah, go to Mars. Live in a space commune. You're not taking your car, your wardrobe. You're not taking your lifestyle with you. You're going to have a uniform. All right, this is from 1991.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise.
All right. He's got the reptoid eyes. So next time I write his name down, I'll make sure I put the semicolons before and after his name. But he's so certain. He says, and we will. Sort of like Biden yesterday. It's like, we're going to have a new pandemic. And I know we will. Look, Canada faces unsophisticated attacks using everyday weapons. What they're saying is that domestic lone actors will be attacking with household items. So instead of sophisticated terrorists infiltrating the flight schools and carrying off these well-coordinated strikes, they're talking about uncoordinated, small-scale attacks, quote, using knives, hammers, and vehicles with very little planning beforehand. They're calling these IMVs, ideologically motivated violent acts. IMV extremism. And it says in Canada and other Western countries, IMV is increasing. So this is also including the incels. This also includes groups like the Base. And the Base is a white nationalist group. The Base is also what Al-Qaeda actually means. It means the Base. It says recent attacks in Canada have followed the trend. There's a 2017 attack at a Canadian Tire by an ISIS supporter armed with a golf club and a knife. So everyday objects are now considered to be what, weapons? I kind of felt like with COVID, they're starting to coerce people out of carrying things. Let's just make everything digital. Because things carry the germ. Things carry the virus. Your phone, your cash, going to have to get rid of that stuff because it can carry it for 28 days. That's what they originally said. It says in 2020, Sayad Akhtar approached a woman on a Toronto sidewalk and beat her with a hammer. he pledged allegiance to ISIS. In June, someone rammed a pickup truck into a family, an attack on Muslims. So anyway, this is, I think, very much an extension of what they're doing here with the domestic terrorists, the incels being the new threat. George W. Bush saying that we really need to worry about local threats, that what happened on 1/6, and many still will say this, that it was worse than 9/11. By the way, the QAnon shaman has been denied a request for release. My thinking on this character, too, is that, well, it's incongruent. He's not really a shaman thing. The whole idea of the Viking outfit is supposed to call to mind Norse Vikings. It's like a white supremacist, possibly. He even has these white supremacist tats, but that's not his persona. This actor has been portraying more of a hippie. Nothing violent about him, nothing supremacist about him, very much a believer in an emerging new age, sort of a utopian. Very little about this character is believable at all, but I think he's just put there more or less to intimidate the public about ideas on the internet, to say Q sent him. It's like saying Charles Manson sent them. Like, this is one of the parallels to 1969 I've been discussing. Between the QAnon shaman and Matthew Coleman, who killed his children on the anniversary of the Manson killings, we pretty much have a reinvention of the Charles Manson atrocity, this time coming from the political right. By the way, Trump went out and he said, quote, "I do believe they are going to decertify the election." So, you know, this is banned content. You can't even talk about this idea that the election was stolen or something. And I said this last year. I said it's an election rigging contest, if anything. If anything, it's a contest of who's better at rigging elections. But yeah, Donald Trump said yesterday, on Friday the 10th, he said that officials will, quote, decertify the 2020 presidential election. Here's an opinion piece from MarketWatch. The post 9/11 fight against extremism needs to expand into attitudinal inoculation. Do you remember last year I started talking about the lexicon of epidemiology being used to describe ideas because they're creating thought crimes? Well, here, this goes along with what I've been saying. They're going to want to do an internet blackout to purge the conspiracy theories, the memes, and the dangerous misinformation that might cause somebody to go radical and commit acts of violence or murder people. In fact, there was another guy in Florida, some 33-year-old, who supposedly heard a voice of God that told him to save the children, a big QAnon thing, and he killed some people he believed to be child traffickers. So they've put it out there that people with PTSD, veterans, and the mentally ill are susceptible to ideas, and we have to get rid of those ideas. We have to sanitize the internet. So here, I see this phrase, attitudinal inoculation. They want to quarantine the internet. They want you to put on a digital mask. That's what this is ultimately about. I think we're looking at a holy war, the new Bible, the new holy book for the world. It replaces all the previous ones. Is this screen that you're looking at? And once they have total control over what comes out of that screen, they win the game. And they're not quite there yet. They have to inoculate people against ideas. So when it says that they're seeking a way to inoculate people's attitudes, I mean, what is this? This is, again, very 1984. This is like Brother, the Ministry of Love, torturing people, basically gaslighting people into accepting that there's only one way to see things. If you don't believe the official view, you're somehow sick. They have to remove these viruses from your head so you don't spread them to other people. But anyway, this is an article here. It says, the early years after 9/11 saw a shift in the counterterrorism landscape. Across the globe, dozens of programs emerged with the aim of de-radicalizing extremists. Now, they only talk about de-radicalizing extremists as seen from the perspective of the MSM. But if we're being honest, you'd have to say that the mainstream media is the most radicalizing element out there, telling you to separate and segregate, divide, shut down, self-exterminate. They're basically calling for society to shut down to save the planet. They're calling for putting safety ahead of freedom. I mean, I'd say that's kind of radical in a sense. It says the January 6th attack on the Capitol was by a coalition of militant far-right extremists, QAnon conspiracy theorists, Proud Boys, white supremacists, unlawful militias, and Trump voters. And it illustrates how the beliefs shape extremists and how their methods have changed. And so what we're looking at here is, again, is this idea that people are self-radicalizing. So after 9/11, it was mosques. Did they go to a mosque? Did they travel to Yemen? Did they get radicalized? And can we find that? Can we waterboard them to see if they caught that virus before they spread it and cause other suicide bombers? Now it's, were you in contact with this place that makes you into a bioterrorist? Because now, of course, the new universal threat is the super spreader. They've used the same infrastructure. They've expanded it to put everybody underneath the same level of scrutiny. But on top of the expansion of the post 9/11 universe to encompass everyone as a potential bioterrorist, now you still do have these extremists, these suicide bombers, but they've replaced the Muslim suicide bomber with the shooters, the bowl cuts, the incels. I would say the incels are the new counterpart to the suicide bombers. And they're doing it for the same exact reasons. They're trying to bring about a reset. They want to start society over. They want to move things back to a time before women had feminism. And they believe that the American government is controlled by Satan. That's QAnon. And that's, well, the QAnon radicals believe that. And that's the Quranic radical belief as well. Yeah, vax supremacy is on the rise. Pat Oswald, says, I don't want anyone unvaccinated at my events. They're all saying this. They're all doing this. This is a Jimmy Kimmel's the worst. Jimmy Kimmel said that he doesn't think that unvaccinated people should have access to ICU beds, which effectively turns hospitals into, well, concentration camps. I've been looking at these characters they create for the world to fear. Terrorists, incels, and really, really breaking it down because I believe they're 100% templated. So, for example, terrorists in a cave, plotting destruction, repressed, women-hating, willing to sacrifice themselves for the cause. Well, that is definitely a description of the basement-dwelling incel, getting all of his moral support from other incels in their basement caves. And if you look, they're playing first-person shooters, games that are just fantasies about murdering a bunch of people. And one of the incels in Ohio that they caught had plans to kill 3,000 women, a very 9/11-y number. But I've been thinking, this is not new. They have been building this narrative of the white Al-Qaeda, the vanilla ISIS threat. They've been building this for some time. The idea of the dangerous incels. I think it's a targeted demographic that they want to nullify as a threat, castrate them, basically. And I think this is the reason, I think this is the true reason why InfoWars has been pushing super male vitality for so long. I think and if you listen to InfoWars, they're always pushing these pills, and it's, it just sounds like he's catering to men, masculinity or something. But no, I think this is actually kind of suggesting something else. I think they're trying to build up this notion that you're dealing with what they would call toxic masculinity. And I think they all feed into it. I think a lot of these conspiracy theorists, big names in conspiracy theory, subcultures like Alex Jones's and even Joe Rogan, I think a lot of these guys are putting out talking points that are actually sabotage, more or less. not just false flag, but putting out ideas that make them cancelable, because if they can cancel them, they can cancel you. Look what they did with Sandy Hook. Alex Jones said, oh, the reason why people said Sandy Hook was a hoax is because some of my listeners are schizophrenic and psychopaths, that I had a psychotic breakdown. That was his defense. So he backtracked. Alex Jones blames it on a psychosis. CNN.com, Alex Jones says, quote, a form of psychosis made him believe Sandy Hook was staged. Well, I'm sorry, but psychosis has nothing to do with it. I mean, this is maybe it's a CYA, just trying to minimize damage to himself financially. But it's not the result of a psychosis. It's the result of studying it, of looking at the evidence presented. Kevin Mooring says, a lot of people think Alex Jones is Bill Hicks. Think of it that way. Alex gets Bill's playing a hick. Interesting way of looking at it. Because I would say the transformation of Bill Hicks to Alex Jones was a transformation from someone who was libertarian, maybe left-leaning, going into a caricature of the far right. And that's what Bill Hicks was talking about doing. That's what he put in his manuscript he gave to Kevin Booth, who was then Alex Jones's producer after Hicks died. Yeah, and I think it's a caricature. Does he really believe what he's saying? Well, you know, it depends. I mean, people want to trust. And this is what Lenin said, didn't he? The people want a hero, will supply it. Controlled opposition is the norm these days. And again, nobody pushed false flag theory about 9/11 more than Jones. False flag theory assumes that a lot of people died. Ivar said, just a coincidence, Tim. Coincidences are a conspiracy theory. I saw in Canada they were throwing rocks at Justin Trudeau. Probably staged. Probably bits of styrofoam painted like rocks. I mean, I'm expecting it's staged, because this comes right on the heels of these articles about the extremists using household objects now. Australians still shocked after NSW health officer says post-lockdown Sydney will be a new world order. And this is another one. They're saying in London, the anti-maskers are putting razor blades in their propaganda. So you pull their posters off and you get cut. I find that to be hard to believe. They're trying to save everybody's lives. They're the most compassionate people in the world, the anti-vaxxers, right? They're trying to save lives. So it doesn't make sense that they would be putting people in danger. I think they're being framed. And that's what I mean by a lot of the big names in conspiracy research or conspiracy discussion. I think a lot of them are helping to frame free thinkers and associate them with bad actors on the world stage. Automated software spread COVID misinformation on Facebook. This is from another one of these panic-stricken articles about the spread of misinformation. It says, misinformation reached such levels that the WHO branded it an infodemic. The use of automated bots has been long understood in terms of traditional misinfo, but now they're having to discuss, well, what does it mean when it spreads dangerous misinformation? Elizabeth Warren asks Amazon to deplatform books and products with COVID-19 misinformation. And that's kind of problematic, because a lot of what many of these politicians, a lot of what Fauci said early 2020 would be considered misinformation by 2021. Warren identified a variety of products that are among the top results when consumers search for items about COVID, items that promote false and misleading conspiracy theories. Now, I recently heard Elizabeth Warren on a montage where she used the word fight. We have to fight. We're going to fight. She used the word fight hundreds of times over the course of a couple of years in a montage. And it goes along with the name, you know, Elizabeth Warren. Very extreme rhetoric, and yet they call you an extremist because you simply don't believe. And I don't not believe. I demand evidence. I have a higher standard of evidence. I don't automatically disbelieve the news. That's ridiculous. It's as bad as automatically believing the news. The auto-disbeliever is as bad as the auto-believer. They're both lost and confused. One of them just doesn't know he's confused. The other one is more of a, I would say, under-informed, which is not a position of power at all. I think to be empowered, you have to know both sides of the story. All right, I got a couple of voicemails. Let's go ahead and go through these.
Hello, Tim. This is Echo. I just listened to last night. I'm glad you pointed out the Florida shooter, the ex-Marine, because I follow the sheriff in that county. He takes over the local media and gives sheriff's reports routinely on violent crimes. It's a very interesting show he's got. He might be a white hat. He might appeal to people looking for a white hat. I wonder if you've ever caught him on his reports he does for the public.
I'll take a look. And I remember there was someone out there, I believe it was in Parkland, an officer who was fired because he said it was a hoax, or he tweeted something about David Hogg being a crisis actor. I'll have to dig into that. There's a few people out there who aren't in the know, who aren't part of the great conspiracy. You know, I've been thinking lately too that we might be wrong, not we, but most conspiracy theorists might be wrong in thinking that it's a small cabal. You know, a small cabal ruling over the many. Like, maybe comparatively small. But you got to think of how many proxies there are, how many organizations serve them directly. I mean, I once had a conversation with a Freemason who said that he was in the world's biggest gang, and there were 5 million members. So, you know, that's another way to look at it. You know, it is a big gang that you're probably surrounded, like Truman in the Truman Show, and you probably have a lot of reasons to justify the paranoia if you want to. But it's not personal. I think it's an impersonal system. All right, next message.
Hello, Mr. Osmond. I'd like to tell you to look into, since recently, beginning of this month, 9/1/21, whatever, they in Texas, they made it open carry legal for everybody. And then now in Amarillo, Texas, you got violence going up and, you know, gun related. And I think that's just a coincidence. Look into it. There's a few details that don't make sense. Maybe we could talk later about it. Later, bro.
Okay, we'll look into that, definitely. And there's a pattern I've noticed. When one script gets old, they phase in a new one. And they've been phasing in hardcore environmentalism right on the back of COVID. And this started pretty much right away, right after the pandemic was declared. They said, oh, look, the skies are so much cleaner now that we've shut down the economy. More lives will be saved from cleaning the skies than will have been lost to the virus, which is suggesting, oh, it's an acceptable loss. Let's just release the bat virus once a year. Cut down on the carbon emissions. By the way, vax the bats first. I think that would be the starting point. If you want to mandate vaccines, well, start with the bats. It's common sense. I've got a short clip here. This is from Crater Earth USA, Commander Luz on tour. He stopped by JT33. If you've heard music on this channel, you've no doubt heard JT33. And if you want to know why it sounds the way it does, it's because he uses real drums It's always an incredible mix when you hear his music, but here you get to hear something kind of raw. And this is Commander Lou hanging out at JT33's home studio.
Wow, that's hard, man.
If you want to watch the whole drum session, go to fakeworld.news. I have a link to it. You can also subscribe to Crater Earth USA. I'll put a link in the chat. It's a pretty decent video there. He's driving over to JT's house, has some coffee, and JT plays drums. I don't know what they did after that. I thought I heard some coughing, but I'm not going to speculate. Hope it's not COVID. I hope it's something benign. Okay, she brought up the Marine in Florida. I'll look more into this one as well. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd said in a news conference that the ex-Marine said God told him to kill everyone and rescue victims of sex trafficking. Just another theme to look out for. God telling people to kill. That's a common theme I've been seeing lately. Because it's the religiosity, the delusion, the idea that the mentally ill or the people who are susceptible to religious delusions are dangerous and they need to be protected and society needs to be protected from them. So the censorship isn't for you and I. It's for the people who can't control the way they respond. By the way, I have to put this up here. This is the guitarist for Kiss. So he said that he's on doctor's orders. He has to stay home for a bit because he's got COVID and he doesn't want to be a super spreader. And he, like Gene Simmons, is a big believer in boosters and vaxes and social distancing. But here he is outside of a Starbucks with, I guess, a personal servant or something, unmasked. Now, I presume he doesn't want to smear his makeup. I don't know. Kevin Mooring says, one of the things I love about this channel, the music you promote. Yeah, Infinite Plane Radio, Infinite Plane Society, we've been kind of a hub of activity for musicians, artists, animators, and researchers, media deconstructionists. We've been doing all of this, and we have attracted a lot of musicians who've composed music for the channel, inspired by the channel. In fact, we had a new song the other day that came in from Red to Green about this communist takeover of the free market. But 24/7, I have the stream on and a lot of it will be more music as we go along. I'm adding a lot more tracks. I'm trying to shift the balance, 12 hours music, 12 hours of replays. And one of the reasons we went into music and also into graphic design is because it's uncensorable. We kind of foresaw this coming. We knew there'd be a time where they have designated thought crimes. So if you can get your ideas out there into the culture, into the memesphere, it's harder to suppress them. Kevin Mooring says, Trump's going to be President JFK. He's going to be President. JFK Jr. is coming back. John Denver, Prince, Michael Jackson, all before it goes down. I'm pretty sure Prince is alive. I don't have any trouble with that. Michael Jackson has actually returned in disguises. He's been spotted. He came back as Dave. Yeah, wearing the skin of one of his friends. Well, not literally the skin. It was a disguise. But JFK Jr. supposedly coming back. I've heard that one, and it's big. Among the QAnoners. I've been watching this HBO special about QAnon. I'm on episode, I think, 3. And I think I have a few reasons to believe that this entire thing goes back decades, that there's nothing spontaneous about the so-called Q drops, and that this is all a script being played out. And I think that Stanley Kubrick has a hand in a lot of this stuff, although I don't believe he's alive. I'm certain he wasn't dead at the time of Eyes Wide Shut's release. In fact, there's some clues about Stanley Kubrick's faked death in that movie. I want to show you an image. This is a recent image from the space station looking down at the Earth. And if you look at the solar panels, you can see that sphere at the top. And I often point out how it looks like the Twin Towers to me. And there's some symbolic significance to that proposition, which we talk about here quite a bit. The symbol of the space station as the Tower of Babel, or the space program as man uniting under one common language in a mission to go from Earth to the heavens. And of course, on the anniversary of Apollo 11, Bezos, richest man in the world, in his capsule, poked his head into the heavens. So they've done it. They've built the tower. Not a coincidence. None of this stuff is a coincidence. That he's 57 years old, and he's the former CEO of Amazon, A to Z, all the books. We're talking about consolidating all the languages of the world into one thing, and then it falls. That's kind of the subtext I think they're building up toward. But I'm looking at this space station solar panels and how it does look like you're staring at the Twin Towers, and there's this sphere at the end of them. And I've noticed that before, and I've been trying to determine if that has any sort of counterpart on the ground with the actual space station. And it turns out that at the base of the Twin Towers, between them, there was a sculpture, a big sphere, which was actually damaged and then recently reinstalled. And I want to bring up a couple pictures of it, because it was right there between the two towers. And so again, I think it's just another example of the symbolism connecting the Twin Towers to the space station. And again, the World Trade Towers, now the One World Tower, it represents this Tower of Babel. And there's a lot of symbolic connections, including the world's largest cathedral. The Cathedral of St. John the Divine there in New York has a pillar with the Twin Towers being knocked over. And the design on these pillars is just describing revelations in a modern context. And New York is Babylon. How the World Trade Center sphere traveled New York after 9/11. So it's a work of, quote, art. I mean, I don't know what to make of it. But it's a 25-foot diameter bronze sculpture called the Sphere, which was right there between the towers. And so it was damaged. Now, was this damaged on 9/11? No, I don't think so. I don't think that they would have left it up to chance, but I think it's all staged. My point is, this sphere is the subject of the story. It's called, I know there's a better name for it. They just call it Koenig's Sphere or the World Trade Center Sphere. Anyway, it caught my attention because it does symbolically resonate with the space station thing. By the way, the space station is going to have a movie filmed on board called The Challenge. And the astronauts, or rather the cosmonauts, are taking off on October the 5th. I'm still waiting to see if Tom Cruise is going to let them beat him to the space station, or if he's going to somehow get up there before they get up there. So we're kind of closing in. I'm going to go through some comments. Kevin says, hey, Tim, I think that represents the space station falling like the Twin Towers. Yeah, I kind of think that the Twin Towers falling, that this is a bigger story of the tower falling. And it's all about the reset, about this hubristic quest where mankind is just so full of itself, they think we can put everything underneath one banner, we can unite everything, one order, and then we can go to the heavens. And I think once they have that, then they tear it down. I think that's the subtext I've been seeing. And what happened on 9/11 20 years ago, it was just the start of it, and it's ongoing. Even the fact that they had people kneeling last year, I think the kneeling is also very significant. When you get into the symbolism of the towers, and I talk about this a bit in the Metascript Decoded in the book, they symbolize the twin pillars in the Masonic temple. And these pillars, these towers, can also be symbolized by the thigh bones, like the Skull and Bone Society. But these twin pillars have great significance in all of these occult rites. And I believe that when the Twin Towers were taken down, it was symbolic of America being brought to its knees, the legs being taken out. And I think that what we're seeing now is America, that was the start of it. But America, not just America, but the idea of freedom itself. I mean, because we're kind of a pariah. America accounts for most of the pollution. We're blamed for pretty much most of the COVID, if you listen to China's media. But the idea is that we're not going to have a one world system until we get rid of the anti-vaxxers, the ones who don't go along with the one world's establishment media and establishment science, the monolithic one world view. And I believe that's what the monolith actually represents, this quest to unify mankind, get them all on the same sheet. And it pretty much culminated with the world leaders over at NATO ogling a giant digital obelisk or monolith that said combat climate change on it, among other things. That's the new god that they're all just bowing to. It was the strangest thing. Lily Bell Bell says, I watched a George Carlin stand-up the other day. I was surprised to how relevant. Yeah, for some reason, George Carlin was allowed to say a lot of things blatantly. Maybe because he was a comedian. A lot of these comedians seem to be almost limited hangouts where they can kind of pull test various ideas and see how people respond. Cubstar says, Tom Cruise is going to fall off the space station all the way to Earth and get caught by Arnie. That's a very fascinating topic, and I don't want to go too far into it because it's about to happen, whatever's going to happen. But someone sent this to me yesterday. It was Misha. South Park has an episode where Tom Cruise is dead on the moon, episode 201, which is kind of interesting considering Space Odyssey 2001 and Event 201. Both of these movies, both of these things, we're talking about Space Odyssey and even the Corona, these things are interconnected when you get to the storyline. But the idea here is that Tom Cruise dead on the moon does have a Space Odyssey reference. The reference being the David Bowie song. And David Bowie is based, I believe the name is based on David Bowman from the Space Odyssey. He has a song, Space Oddity. Came out and it was played during the Apollo 11 mission. But it's about this Major Tom. And Major Tom dies in space. So it's kind of funny here that Tom Cruise is going to the space station. And, you know, it's rather consistent with the bigger story that on an episode of South Park, which predicts many, many celebrity deaths, that you would have a dead Tom Cruise on the moon. And there's actually two episodes. The person here, the Misha remarks, there's the Twin Tower scene in an episode of South Park called Drill the Moon. Right after the towers are shown, Tom Cruise is shown once again dead in space. Now look at this, Vanilla Sky Blu-ray is going to be released again to mark the 20th anniversary. Now, if you didn't see this movie, it opens up with a scene of Tom Cruise downtown New York, and it's obviously locked down. It's under quarantine. There's nobody there, and he's freaked out by this. He's not happy. I would be happy. But he, you know, he freaks out, and he starts running. It's apparently a terrifying proposition that nobody's out there to see him. Well, this is foreshadowing, if you ask me. This movie came out right after September the 11th. And after he has this nightmare of a vacant New York, he wakes up and he's in a bed with his girlfriend and they're talking about how they had the cold. They had a cold, like COVID. The movie ends with some pretty blatant symbolism connecting to 9/11. The whole movie is just full of symbolism top to bottom, deep subtext, esoteric, even goes down to the names of the actors and actresses if you break it down. But it's being released again. And it starts off with a scene, and this movie has a lot to do with Tom Cruise falling from the sky. That's my point here. So Cupstar says he's going to fall from the sky and be caught by Arnie. It could easily happen. He's going to be an ISS jumper. And ISS is also 9/11. I is 9. S is 19, or 9 plus 1, or 1 plus 0. So you get a 9-1-1. Kevin Mooring says, George Carlin, the comedian, the Illuminati put in front of your eyes. Lily Bell says, why a whale on the moon? I haven't looked deep into the symbolism. I haven't watched the episode. But I'll look into it. I feel like this channel that we're just putting out so many spoilers. And I don't want to ruin the big things. Speaking of Illuminati, again, Robert Anton Wilson's book, The Illuminatus Trilogy, has a scene 25 pages into the book. The president is talking to an aide, and he says, what is the Desert Door Project? And the aide explains, germ warfare. They started with something called Anthrax Delta, and now they've worked up their way to Anthrax Mu. Sound familiar? And if we go into Robert Anton Wilson's works, we will find, I believe you'd find some other things as well that maybe suggest foreknowledge. I think his books are the basis for a number of movies we've seen as well. Truman Show, number 23, a lot of the Jim Carrey stuff. Everything about Robert Anton Wilson's books is about the Dog Star and the symbolism that the so-called Illuminati use. I brought this up a couple days ago. 911, you know, emergency. Fire alarms going off in the space station. There's a fissure in the space station, holes in the space station. About a month ago, the thrusters fired on one of these resupply modules, and it caused the thing to flip over a few times. So you can kind of see the script. You can kind of see where it's going, if you ask me. And I think it's pretty obvious. I don't want to give any spoilers, but also Q, or someone very close to Q, has said, quote, stay away from DC on September the 18th. Do not attend the rally. So on 9/18, there's some kind of a rally, which is probably going to be staffed by crisis actors. U.S. Capitol fence to return ahead of a protest. Police request reinstalling the fencing. Capitol Police memo warning of potential violence for a September 18th rally. Another big event to frame anybody to the right of Mao, basically. Thought criminals, all of you. At some point, I mean, they're going to charge you with terrorism for sharing a meme. If people don't rebuke all these attempts to just demonize the free flow of information. But we're almost there, unfortunately. And I called this last year when the Kardashians locked down their Facebook accounts. I said, hey, look, if the Kardashians are going to freeze their social media because of conspiracies, then other people are going to follow. By the way, this is genius. I think what Madonna did is genius. Apparently, this is my theory. I think this is accurate. She doesn't want her reign to end. So what Madonna has done is she has hired a lookalike, a body double, and she's just had herself replaced. It was seamless. So you're going to be stuck with a Madonna for, well, until this one is replaced. Her daughter will probably grow old, and Madonna will still be, you know, perpetually looking the exact same. It could be a mask, too. All right, let me go through comments here. Look, if you don't want to miss any live streams, go to infiniteplane.media and get the live stream notifications. Kevin Mooring says, Madonna, low adrenochrome. This could be an ad for adrenochrome, honestly. If it can take you from A to Z, if you look at the chart here, if it can do that, then yeah, it's obviously working. Because, like, is she bathing in blood? Again, Trump said that they're going to decertify the election. So this again suggests that on 9/18, if they do have any kind of a gathering there, they're going to be true believers that Trump's coming back. Also, remember to get vaccinated, or a vaccinated person might get sick from the virus they got vaccinated against, because you're not vaccinated. I have a clip here. One more. I mean, I'm sure you're going to see more of these. There's so many of these coming out now. More examples of controlled demolition. Here you have squibs. These are squibs going off in the towers as they fall. The witnesses are describing, and these are fire department witnesses, describing how floor by floor you had detonations from top to the bottom, controlled demolition.
All of a sudden it was like bang, 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 like bullet shots.
I saw from the corner, boom, 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 boom.
Now, a lot of these accounts have been filtered out because they didn't fit the dominant narrative, but most of you here know the truth, and this is a good one. Actually, John LeBond showed this one to me first. This is Supertramp's album, where you have a waitress holding a glass of orange juice in front of the Twin Towers. And if you reverse it, the UP actually forms a 9/11. And the glass of orange juice is actually right in the position of where the planes hit. And the table is arranged like a chessboard. So more predictive programming. Johnny Chainsaw says, will Tom Cruise's vax passport fall to the earth? Yeah, they need to make bulletproof vests, just, or make PPE out of whatever those passports are made out of. There's a number of items that have saved lives of crisis actors that we also should look into. Like, you got these passports that survived the fires of 9/11. We've had the belt buckle stopped a bullet that would have killed the guy next to Nipsey Hussle. Then there was that shooting at Parkland where I believe it was a bra strap stopped the AK-47, magical bra. All right, thanks everyone for joining. I'm going to be responding to more voicemails. So if you call 833-311-1984 when we're not live, I'm going to be going through those daily now. There's quite a lot happening. We're going to be covering more with regards to this falling space station thing, which it probably is going to have to happen sooner than later. I mean, it's a jalopy. And the main reason why they can't really introduce the new space stations yet, they can't really do anything incredible in space. They can't send people to Mars yet because the space station special effects are holding everybody back. I'm convinced that's what it is, because the new special effects aren't using green screen. They're flawless. Now, here's a very perplexing image. I don't know if any of you have seen this one. It's Don Petit in the space station, sitting on a chair. But weirdly, he's surrounded by a camera crew who aren't dressed up like astronauts, and they're not floating around. They're just taking pictures. So, not sure what to make of it. It could just be a mock-up of the space station, or it could be a leak. Could be somewhere in between. Maybe they actually fake it in the mock-up when the doors are closed, which is what I think. It's what they do with the swimming pools. In fact, we're going to be doing a symposium on the ISS very soon. So if you have any great ISS content, bloopers, basically. We have a 20-year blooper reel to work with here. So if you want to get involved with that, we're working on the first symposium, and that's over at the Discord server. I believe there's enough there to literally bring the thing down. And I think that it's an act of, I think it's cowardly on behalf of those who consistently debate flat earthers. It's cowardly that they never address the space station itself. They'll talk about transits and how you can see the light from the ground, but they never talk about the actual footage on board. And I have some information, I have some videos, I have some footage that I consider to be rather a bombshell, which, like I said, we'll get into very soon. We're compiling all of it, and we're going to drop it all at once. This is Auto Hoax, or GTFO, by Chief Crow and the Flat Earth Worms. Have a great Saturday.
You are listening to Infinite Plane Radio. Stick around for live call-in shows. Stay for the music and recent replays. Join us at infiniteplane.live for 24/7 live chat with other listeners.